from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
So what happens? Cut down day tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Rosters need to be trimmed down to 53. Browns have some decisions to make, Andy. I think their key decisions are at a couple of positions on offense. And keep in mind, whatever happens tomorrow is just a minor part of it. Part of it. Let me take minor out of that. Because other things will be happening throughout the week as guys from other teams become available and other players who were with the Browns who made the 53 will then be moved off the 53.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be a work in progress. But right now, I think they have some key decisions to make on offense.
All right, so a couple things here. One, this is what, the second year that we've only had one cutdown day, right? This is the second year, I think, that it's just been one straight to 53.
I think that's right.
The other question I have, and this is, we talked about this in the pregame show the other day, which I think is kind of fascinating. When you look back at the last 2 years, the Browns have kept, again, this is for the initial 53. And as you know, it's all kind of fluid right after that. But for the last 2 years, they've kept more guys on defense than they have on offense. You go back 3 years, it was a split. It was 25-25 and then three special teamers. And the year before that, they had kept one more offensive player than a defensive player, but then they used to also keep a fullback. So I think that was kind of the reason it got tilted. I wonder how they're going to look at this when they go into this year, because I think this could be different based on all the question marks at tackle. That they could end up taking more offensive guys than defensive guys because they know that they – I mean, you might be looking at straight, you know, a straight five-man backup on that offensive line, knowing as – because we've seen in the past they've kept three, they've kept four, and where do you keep that? Also, when I look at the roster from the big picture and understanding what we've seen from Kevin Stefanski before is that we all know how much he likes tight ends. But now, in the situation he's in at – wide receiver, and perhaps at running back, he's probably only going to keep two tight ends. They're in another situation, too, when I look at the roster, is what are they going to do at quarterback? Because traditionally, if you go back and look, they've only kept two going into this thing. They keep two, and this year, I just don't know how they can't keep three, and that might also be a byproduct of going to 17 games and knowing, hey, we better hang on to three active
quarterbacks.
You used
five last year.
Yeah, and so I think that you know, so maybe they're a little bit jumpy, or they want to make sure that they want to be precautionary, and I don't have a problem with that too. If they keep three quarterbacks, it's hard because you're taking maybe a defensive back out of there, you're taking a wide receiver perhaps out of there, or a running back that might be able to help you on special teams. I don't see how they get out of this without keeping three quarterbacks though on the initial 53-man roster. Could you imagine if they just walk out with two tomorrow?
No,
if they just keep
no.
Jameis and Deshaun?
No, I don't think
I can't
that,
see that.
No, I don't think that happens.
Yeah.
You had four guys. Let's start there at quarterback. It's going to come down to, I would assume, let's just say these are all assumptions on our part, and we all know what happens when you assume, but let's assume Jameis Winston has the team made as the backup quarterback. I think that's the case.
I think that's slam dunk. Yeah, you can feel good about that.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson or Tyler Huntley? Do you...
The investment, and I always look at history when they do things. The investment is in Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I think everyone was pleased with the way that he played in the preseason. If for some reason they think they can get him through to the practice squad, then maybe you keep Tyler Huntley. I don't see that. I would not be surprised if Huntley or DTR is traded in the next 24 hours.
I would agree with that.
And I do think they're going to keep DTR on the roster.
Which one would you trade?
Who's going to give me more?
Is it as simple as that?
Yeah.
Is it as simple as which one brings you more?
I think they're hesitant, though, on trading DTR. He's in the family, man. When they call your name on draft day, you've got to. I mean, you're in the family. You've kissed the ring. You're in.
Where's Anthony Schwartz?
How many guys are we talking about, though?
I don't know. Jeff, I don't think you're in the family. If
one, two? How many guys have they cut? And I mean, look at I forgot his name already. Kicker.
York.
Cade York. They brought him back.
And just traded him again.
Yeah, well, they brought him back. They gave him the opportunity. Kevin said before the game.
Where's Richard LeCount?
So two? I mean, at some point,
you're going
to. You know as well as I do, they like to hang on to their draft picks.
You can't give argue me one with that, or two but examples. Are you going to do a big group hug? Hey, everybody, we're all here. Did you like the rookie symposium?
I'm telling
we're
you.
We're keeping you.
You can't tell me that if it isn't a tiebreaker and they're sitting there saying Tyler Huntley or Dorian Thompson-Robinson, they're going to take the guy they drafted.
Then you might take the guy who's cheaper. That's Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
I've never once since the Haslams have been here said they made a decision because
no,
cheaper.
No, it's not about money. It's about
or the cap.
It's about cap. I mean, do you want to have... You want to have that veteran salary on the cap as a number three guy?
I think
they keep DTR.
I can be honest. I think the whole cap thing is garbage.
Because they always find a way to make it work.
Somehow, some way, everybody, they found some room under the cap. Or, by the way, Deshaun Watson decided he's going to take a lot of cash up front. So I know we sit here and we talk about the cap all the time, and I know there are realities in some of it. But somehow, some way... There's money for pizza when you don't have any money left in your paycheck, and they still figure out a way to do that.
Personally, I would keep Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I think he has more upside than Tyler Huntley because I think he might be a long-term project who you can develop into your backup quarterback next year if Jameis Winston leaves, which I think we're all assuming he's here on a one-year contract until he's not.
Who knows?
I know, exactly. But I would think that DTR in their mind is their backup quarterback of the future and maybe a potential starting quarterback for this team sometime down the road, maybe. And I would think a team that might need another quarterback right now might prefer Tyler Huntley on a 1 year because he could step in and play right away a little more effectively, perhaps.
I'm not trying to be rude, okay? But do we really – I mean, we all sit here and we go, DTR, he's the future, he's the future, he's the future.
I didn't say that.
Well, no, not you, but I've heard a lot of people say it. But a lot of people feel like he's a part of the future, whether he's the backup or the starter.
Maybe,
right?
Maybe not.
If for some reason Deshaun Watson doesn't work this year and they feel like they need help at quarterback, you can't tell me they're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round next year or maybe even the next year. So that I don't know what
trade for one.
Okay. I don't know what the window is for Dorian Thompson-Robinson to be able to become a starting quarterback here for the Browns. And I don't know that he ever will be the starting quarterback for the Browns.
Oh, you never know.
No,
I mean,
you're right.
There's a guy named Brock Purdy starting for San Francisco.
I totally agree with you, and I get it. But I also think at some point we all think Deshaun Watson, like you want to talk about on the clock, because, on the clock, Myles Garrett this, or Za'Darius Smith, you know, on the defense is really on the clock. Deshaun's on the clock this year. Don't kid yourself. Everybody knows it. We know Deshaun's got to have a good year this year. He does. Otherwise, you look into next season, you're like, hey, we may have to draft a quarterback next year.
So you're thinking,
the time is ticking on this deal.
You're thinking three quarterbacks, and you're thinking DTR is the third.
I do. 100%. I believe that, yes.
I agree.
Now, the question is, unless they can trade DTR in the next 24 hours. If they feel like they can get something for him, then they'll easily slide Tyler Huntley in. I don't think that's a major... It's not that hard for them to do that.
I would think their preference is to keep DTR. We'll see. For a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being your thought about the draft choice, the money, and maybe long-term development. Running back. Jerome Ford, Deontay Foreman, Pierre Strong, Nick Chubb will start the year injured. You're good to go there. If Foreman has an issue, maybe that leads to something, and you bring in somebody else, I would think you're only going to keep three running backs right now. And then when Nick Chubb comes back, whenever that is, you might have a decision to make. You know, maybe at that point, you determine that Strong or Foreman could be moved, either in a trade or just let go.
Yes. Yeah. More possibly. So with a trade with Strong, maybe, or Foreman. I both those guys have a little bit of NFL clout. I think Foreman's got a little more clout than Strong does. I mean, I know this is like trivial, but I hope that Sailor's kids ends up on the practice squad. I hope they can get him through to that. I don't know why. I was just intrigued by him the other night. I know we played against Seattle's 17th string. I get it. But there was something about him the other night that I was like, man, this kid's got a little... He's got a little zip, and he was fighting hard. He didn't have any playing time going into this thing the other night. I hope they can find a spot on the practice squad for him. That's all.
Good
what
luck.
About Hines?
Good luck with that.
What about Nyheim Hines?
Well, we'll see.
I mean, he's on the...
supposed to... I believe he's going to stay on the injury list. Right? He's still... He wasn't activated.
Yeah, well, he's on that non-football injury list.
Right.
Yeah.
He was, and yeah. I don't believe his name was listed among the people activated. Aiden Robbins had some moments in the preseason. Maybe he goes to the practice squad
possible,
as well.
Possible.
Yep, we'll see about that. The big question to me is at wide receiver.
I agree.
And hey, I saw somebody write, and I thought, okay, you've not been paying attention to it, that Cedric Tillman was a cut possibility. And I thought, well, you've not paid attention. He's going to make the team, obviously. And
he's not going anywhere.
He's the most recent of the third-round picks. And Andy looked really good the other day with Jameis Winston early on. He had three catches early in the game. Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, Cedric Tillman. Those are four locks. At that point, you've got at least two more guys you're going to keep. Maybe three? Could you keep three more? I think Jamari Thrash has made the team.
I agree with you on Thrash.
Cooper, Jeudy, Moore, and Tillman.
And Thrash can return kicks. Let's not forget that. I watched him do it in practice.
Well, those four guys to me are a lock, obviously. I think Jamari Thrash makes the team.
Okay.
Michael Woods looked really good the other night. They seemed to like Michael Woods. He was a draft choice. And David Bell has been dinged up and was a third-round pick. So you're going to be picking between three guys who... you drafted.
Can you keep seven receivers?
Yes, you can. Off the initials, yes, you can, but it means you're going to trim somebody someplace else where you might not want to do that.
Here's another one. Can you get Thrash through to the practice squad?
I doubt it.
I don't know. There's a lot of wide receivers out there. They might be able to get him through to the practice squad.
Maybe, but you could lose him at some point off the practice squad.
You can protect, what, two on there? Where you can't, two or four?
I think it's two. You've got Thrash, you've got Woods, you've got Bell. Let's assume they go with six. Pick two.
If they're going to go with six, so obviously Cooper, Moore, and Jeudy, those are locks. Tillman's a lock. There's four.
Out of the way. You got to pick two. Thrash, Woods, or Bell.
Well, I would take Thrash and Bell, but I thought Woods has looked good too. I have a feeling, though, that Bell's going to end up injured to start the season. From everything that I heard, he's too well liked in the building. They love him. They think that the potential is still there. He hasn't become Jarvis Landry, and I think that's what I had hoped that he would be when they first drafted him. I'm like, okay, I see why they're letting Jarvis Landry go, because they have a similar type receiver coming out of a Big Ten school that can play that that slot wide receiver that can do it. If it was a year from now, I think they probably could move on. I just don't see them giving up on David Bell. They're going to have to find they're going to figure out something there. I can't see them letting him go.
I can't. I think Jamari Thrash looked in the preseason better than David Bell's ever looked here. And Michael Woods has been around for a reason for a long time.
Do you want me to give you your same argument as, say, I mean, who is Thrash running up against? Second? Third? I mean, I like Thrash. I'm telling you. I love Thrash. Was that guy that I watched him at the first practice, and I'm like, I want that guy.
Really good to you since he's been here?
Has he had the opportunity? I've always said
that's not what I asked.
I don't. Well, if you don't have the opportunity, you can't look good.
You have to make opportunities for yourself.
But you can't magically throw the ball to yourself.
You have to make opportunities for yourself. I thought Jamari Thrash looked better in the preseason than David Bell has looked.
Bell didn't hardly play. I mean, that's
not. I don't mean this preseason. I mean ever since he's been here. And I like David. I think there's the potential that he could become a good NFL wide receiver. I just think in this situation, if you're Thrash, I think you've done enough to make the team. And they've kept Michael Woods around for a long time, and they like him. And I think those two guys make the team.
I mean, they've kept Bell and Woods the same amount of time. They both got drafted in 22.
I think Woods is a preferred commodity here.
I mean, if you made me say, who are they going to take? I think they take Bell over Woods. We'll see how this plays out. Well, Pete's on this one. I got a pizza on this one with you.
Really?
Yeah.
You betting pizza?
I'll bet a pizza on this one.
Wow, man. That's impressive. Folks, what do you think? What do you think of wide receiver? What would you do? Would you keep David Bell based on a terrific college career and a third-round draft? Or would you move
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Vaughn, I'm assuming that Thrash has made the team. Welcome back to Basket of Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin.
I agree with you. I think he has made the team, but I also think that if they're juggling and trying to figure it out, I wonder if Thrash could make it through to the practice squad if they don't think they're going to use him. I think that the thing that makes him unique is not only his ability to participate as a wide receiver, but he can also participate in special teams at a high level because he can return kicks too if they need him to put him in that spot. As, you know, because right now, what are you're looking at? Pierre Strong, probably.
Deontay Foreman did it in the preseason, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah,
he won't be doing it now with bummed up ribs. Wouldn't be sure about that.
And that might be a reason why he ends up as the six. Are you keeping six? You're only keeping six wide receivers, right?
I don't know. They might be able to keep seven.
I think if they keep seven, it's easy. That's a slam dunk then.
James Prochet. James returns kicks. I'd be surprised if he makes the team.
I mean, they've used him as a punt returner before, too. So I'll be.
I mean, in all honesty, any one of those guys could probably do it if they wanted to put somebody back there. Elijah Moore. Gonna have to see something from Elijah Moore.
Yeah, I think being versatile is something that helps him, that helps Thrash. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's six or seven. That's the question. And then that might, you know. I think you're right. That's one spot. I going into the game, I mean, how many spots did you think were open? I didn't even know how many spots were open going into the game. Maybe three or four.
At wide receiver?
No, just even in general in the whole roster.
Well, let's move to tight end.
Okay.
David Njoku makes it. Jordan Akins makes it.
But I think you're done. I don't think they keep – they're not keeping four. I think they keep two what is it? I don't even, and they'll probably bring someone in for the practice squad if they can.
Might you bring somebody in from another team and keep him on the roster? Does Zaire Mitchell-Payton show you enough that he should make the team?
You got to love him on special teams if you're going to keep him. I think the number, I don't know that it's not that he couldn't make the team towards the low end, the 45 to 50 range there. I just don't know if they have the slots available. I think for him it's a numbers game more than an ability game.
I think you might be right. Yeah. I would think initial 53, they go with two tight ends.
I think you're right.
Especially if you're going to load up at some other spots, which I think they're going to do, and one of those is going to be offensive line.
I agree. I think they'll carry more offensive linemen than they have in the past. They don't want to get burned there, and they don't want to get burned at quarterback.
I'm looking at our buddy Scott Petrak's list on Brown Zone. He gave his kind of mock 53. Mm-hmm. He has 10 guys on the offensive line. And you might think, wow, that's a lot of guys.
It's not.
It's no.
one. It's a
might be one
depth
more
spot
than
for
some,
everybody.
Right. It might be one more than some teams might carry. But let me give you 10 names. Is there any one of these guys that you don't think makes the team? Because I think they all do. Jedrick Wills, DeJuan Jones, Joel Bitonio, Wyatt Teller, Ethan Posick, Jack Conklin, Zach Zinter, James Hudson, Nick Harris, who they just traded and brought back, and Jermaine Ifedi. I think they all make the team.
And Ifedi doesn't get it unless Whipler, because Whipler got hurt. I don't think if Whipler was here, Ifedi would be gone.
But Whipler's not.
Yeah.
So Ifedi's in, and he can play all across the line.
Did you keep Nick Harris in there or no?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's 10 guys. I think they all make the team. I don't see anybody out of that group not making the team. Do you?
Did you have Michael Dunn or no?
Yep.
And James Hudson.
Oh, I didn't have Michael Dunn. Forgive me. So, see, there possibly is 11 guys that you could possibly keep. And maybe you try and slide one of these guys onto the practice squad. I'm sorry, I didn't have Dunn.
Fetty was dealing with a hand issue, too. I mean, he might start the season if you want to keep depth. Some of these guys
Michael
are
Dunn, they love.
Yeah.
Zach Johnson's a young guy they brought in at the end of July. Well, let me take that back. Young guy, maybe NFL experience. He's 30. Mm. And it came from the Birmingham Stallions in the United Football League where he was really good. You're going to put a 30-year-old on the practice squad? You're just going to let him go? I would think they probably let him go.
I think you're right.
The question comes down to Michael Dunn. And if you're going to keep Michael Dunn, who aren't you going to keep?
Boy, that's a great question. I don't know. Someone's going to turn up hurt. You're going to find out that someone's hurt. Like what? He said Wills is coming back, but that doesn't mean.
But he's not practicing. But he's being activated, and Conklin is being activated, so he's back.
Hudson
is back.
Could you see them making a trade on the offensive line here before?
I don't know, Andy. It's such a critical spot for this team. They've dealt with injuries. You see it all over the place. I wonder if they maybe try to keep 11 on the initial 53-man.
Wow, have they ever kept 11 offensive linemen?
On the initial 53-man.
Yeah.
And then see what happens before you get to Dallas on September 8th.
I'm not going to lie, this is kind of a fun game, although we're playing with people's lives. But this is kind of a fun game. You're trying to put yourself...
Rollerball here?
Yeah. Oh, James Caan.
I would think that you've got 11 guys you want to keep at a position where you have serious injury issues. I mean, with Jedrick Wills, with DeJuan coming back. I mean, think about it. Jed Wills is coming back from an injury. DeJuan Jones back from an injury. Ethan Posick has been dinged up, seems to be good to go.
Yeah.
Jack Conklin coming back from an injury. Zinter coming back from an injury. James Hudson back from an injury now.
Don't you feel like Conklin's going to start at left tackle and Jones is going to start at right?
I don't know that.
I just kind of have a feeling.
Conklin hasn't been practicing there, but he's played it.
Mary Kay has been talking about this for weeks now. And I just kind of feel like if she's on that train, that there's some validity to that. So I'm thinking that Jack's going to end up on the left side. If Jed can't start the season, I think they're hopeful that they're going to be able to come out with their full complement of the five starters. If they're bringing Jed back but not practicing. Matt, doesn't it feel like it's going to be Conklin, Teller, Posick, Betonio, Wills? That is their ultimate goal 2 weeks before the first game of the season. And that they're giving themselves the opportunity to do that, whether they've got to move Jack to the left side or not, they're going to give themselves the opportunity. And then if DeJuan Jones steps up, Jeff, I don't ever see them pulling him out again. I think once he grabs one of those spots, it's going to be his. It's going to be his to keep every week as long as he can perform.
The issue here to me, Andy, is
he's so big.
You have three tackles who I think should be starting tackles in the NFL and for this team. Well, that's one too many. Conklin has played right tackle in his NFL career. He's played left in the past. I think he played left tackle at Michigan State on a lot of it. I don't know how you don't start DeJuan Jones. I agree with you.
Because Jed Wills is available and Jack Conklin. It's the only reason why you don't. Because both those guys are available and ready to play.
And even with that, I wonder why you don't start DeJuan Jones. I mean, DeJuan...
You're going to start him over Wills? If Jack's healthy and can play, you're not messing with that.
Well, I think you got to start Jack Conklin. And I would think Jed Wills might have a tough time starting. One of them might be a swing tackle. Remember we heard DeJuan last week say he hasn't played left tackle. He'd have to go over and learn some things and played it just for a touch at Ohio State. The guy screams starting right tackle right now. Maybe one day starting left tackle, but if they thought that, wouldn't they have had him working there in camp?
I also think that that same theory on Jones, DeJuan Jones, once he moves up, I don't see him coming back. When Zinter moves up, I don't see Zinter moving back either. If he's healthy. Now, like, no one's still – I mean, let's not forget his last play of the college season last year. I know he's been okay here so far through camp, but, I mean, I still want to see him live action full game. And the kid's a gamer, man. He's totally a gamer. And I think once he steps up, you're going to find him locked into his position. The problem is he's not going to – I mean, he's not bumping Betonio. He's not bumping Posick. He's not bumping Teller. So one of those guys, unfortunately, if they can't go, he's going to be there. And then you'll have a battle somewhere down the road. And, you know, you don't want somebody to be expendable. But Zinter's the future. If he's healthy. That's the other thing, too, is if he's healthy.
The future where?
Guard?
Well, yeah. Are you thinking Betonio's retiring, or are you thinking you're moving on from Wyatt Teller?
I don't know. I don't want to think either because I like both those guys. Yeah, so
I don't know why you would move on from Wyatt Teller. He's terrific.
Yeah, I agree. But the only reason why is if, unfortunately, there's a reason why they can't play. And then it's going to be a difficult decision after that. It's the same thing with Jack Conklin. When we're looking at Jack Conklin saying, you know, DeJuan Jones is going to take his job at some point, right? Isn't that what everybody thinks?
Well, DeJuan's going to start over one of those guys at some point.
So Zinter's going to be in the same spot. Like, I don't know how you can't look at those two guys.
I love the idea of having a really, really good young player sitting there in reserve, Andy.
Well, you do.
But it might be time to start DeJuan Jones. Who knows?
Okay.
Lewis is in Shaker. Lewis.
Move Jones to left tackle. How long must we wait for Jedrick Wills to become a viable left tackle? I don't see it ever happening. He is horrible, and you guys know it. Y'all know he's terrible. And we got a $24 million, a $250 million asset, and you go for Jedrick? No. No. DeJuan Jones, please. Move him over there.
Lewis, I think that's a possibility. I think DeJuan looks terrific, and he looks to me like if he has the footwork, and it seems like he does, to play left tackle, it clearly looks like a no-brainer, doesn't it, Lewis?
Oh, he definitely has the footwork, because remember, he wanted to play basketball, and you've got to have footwork to play basketball.
Exactly. And Jed Wills, came to the Browns as a right tackle. They moved him to the left side. There are a lot of...
They're moving back to right tackle.
Well, Lewis, that might happen. That might happen, but I think the key, and I think Andy's right about this, if Jack Conklin's healthy, you're going to play him. But I also don't think you're in a position of depth, Andy, where you would want to trade any of those three guys. You're not trading DeJuan. I mean, that's not happening. But
no.
Would you trade Conklin? Would you trade Jed Wills? I wouldn't. I mean, we saw last year what can happen quickly on an offensive line. And that's why maybe I might try and sneak 11 guys through on the initial 53 and take my chances with some guys at some other spots. I think it's a possibility. We'll see.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.